Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Home Show with Sinead Ryan.
With Mila.
On News Talk.
Hello, and you're very welcome along to this episode of the Home Show podcast. My name is Sinead Ryan, and I'm your host today. Now, coming up on the pod today, why it's boom time for bomb shelters, what the budget means for homeowners and renters, the art you can try before you buy, and how do you decorate that student apartment or first home when, let's face it, you've no money. If you'd like to get involved in the show, you can email us at thehomeshow@newstalk.com. You can listen back to any elements you've missed on this podcast, or indeed you can listen on a Saturday morning on the wireless on News Talk. We are on between 8 and 9 on a Saturday, and we'd love to have your company. Either way, you're very welcome along. Now, it's no secret that things are somewhat tense in American politics at the moment, and the level of that tension is reflected in the booming trade that my next guest is doing with his business at the moment. Ron Hubbard is the owner of Atlas Survival Shelters and joins me now from the States. Ron, you're very welcome along to the Home Show. Now, this isn't a business that we're familiar with in Ireland, so tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, Atlas Survival Shelters builds private luxury bomb shelters that are put underneath new homes being built, underneath barns. Some of them are buried out in the woods and hidden away from civilization. So in case there's ever some kind of disaster, a World War III airborne pandemic, people have some life insurance where they could take their family down and try to escape the disaster that is above the ground. So I kind of have made shelters one of the hottest items on the housing market, because we live in an uncertain world, and Americans feel that, you know, it may be a hurricane, it could be a tornado, it could be a wildfire. We have so many things. There are earthquakes, we have volcanoes that could erupt, and they just want a place to go in case one of these biblical disasters happens. Plus, on top of that, the bunkers are pretty cool inside, and they're kind of a man cave as well. So we've seen a large increase in our sales and our production, and they're the must-have things for the wealthy now.
So tell me, describe the bunkers to me, because I know you do a range of them from about $20,000 up to $1 million. What's inside them?
Well, for a $20,000 shelter, it would be 8 feet by 12 feet, or like 2.5 meters by 3.5 meters, and it would be like crawling inside a concrete septic tank, or it looks like an igloo that an Eskimo would live in, but it's made of concrete, and there's no frills inside, there's no plumbing, and you would just be like camping out inside this concrete shelter. But then when you get into a $1 million bunker, you have 3 or 4 bedrooms, you have a full bathroom, you have a kitchen, a living room, and you have beautiful granite kitchen counters, tall ceilings, a gun room for storing your guns. You have a generator room and a mud room and a decontamination room and a room for batteries. And it's literally like having a ship underground. And that could be, you know, as much as, 200 square meters. Wow. Or about 2,000 square feet. But it's like having a house underground. But it will protect you from anything from nuclear fallout, biological attacks, chemical attacks, or any kind of natural disaster.
Right. And do people, do you think, in America feel that that is more likely nowadays than it has been before?
Well, a recent survey showed that 47% of Americans believe that America will be in a civil war within 5 years. And with this presidential election getting very scary and close, my phone is ringing about every 1 to 2 minutes with somebody wanting to purchase a bomb shelter. So when I started this company 15 years ago, the odds were less than 1% people thought that they would ever use their bomb shelter in their lifetime. So to see it go from 1% to almost 50% in 15 years gives you an idea how far America has declined in just a decade and a half.
So tell me, Ron, who are your main customers then?
Well, I mean, I have customers from regular blue collar people that are, you know, welders and plumbers to multimillionaires and very famous people. So I'm not at liberty to talk about a lot of my customers, but there are four that are very famous that I've done bunkers for, and that Kim Kardashian, Mr. Beast, the world's biggest YouTuber, the Tate Brothers in Romania, which I'm currently doing a bunker for them. And of course, I designed Jeff Zuckerberg's bunker. Those four were made public, but otherwise I wouldn't be able to talk about them. So I can't talk about any others. So it is, you know, it is almost that private yacht class of people that buy those larger bunkers. If they have a private yacht, they're probably going to buy a bomb shelter in their lifetime.
Right. And I have you any Irish customers, Ron?
I don't think I've even had a call from Ireland. Okay. I do get a lot of calls from the United Kingdom. We actually manufacture bunkers in Poland for Europe. So I have two factories. I have one in America, in Texas, and then I have one in Poland. And we service all of Europe through Poland. So the United Kingdom is actually a very healthy market for people buying bomb shelters. But Ireland, I don't even think I've had anybody call me from Ireland. Maybe that will change after this. So they can go and watch my social media. I have 1.3 million followers on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And I get over 1 million views a day. Wow. From people just watching me build bomb shelters. They seem to love it.
Well, gosh, okay. Well, maybe we're feeling lucky. Maybe we don't think we'll have war breaking out on this side of the pond. Where do you think, where are people most concerned that the bombs would come from? Is it like from the Middle East or Russia?
We're not so worried about World War III at this point, but I think from what I hear the people say, you know, when America has its second civil war, revolution, or whatever's going to happen, because America has a lot of corruption now, and it wasn't like this just 15 years ago, but now we're seeing judges prosecute people that aren't even guilty and charging people, and it's just become a epidemic now. And so I think a lot of Americans believe that when America breaks down and has its own civil war or revolutionary war, whatever you may call it, that a lot of countries that we are protecting from their neighbors like Israel, Ukraine, South Korea, and other countries, that when we're fighting our own battles, we won't be able to deploy troops or our Navy to protect them. And that would be an opportunity for, let's say, Russia to take the Baltic states. It would be an opportunity for China to take Taiwan, North Korea to attack South Korea. You would see Pakistan and India break out into war. And that will lead to World War III. So an American revolution will lead to World War III. That's how the chips will fall.
And in designing these bunkers, so for the lucky few that have them, how long would you think that they could live there? I mean, would they just ride out whatever the Armageddon is?
It depends on the size of the shelter. Some of the shelters are only designed for, you know, 3, 4, 5 days, typical fallout shelter. But some of the bunkers, you could stay in there for 1 to 2 years if you have enough food, water, and power. It's limitless. An underground shelter is no different than a house. It's just buried underground. So as long as the lights are working, you have food, you have water, you can stay in there indefinitely. I mean, they lock men up in prisons and they don't let them out for 50 years. So, you know, and they're living in a small cell. So trust me, a bunker is a lot bigger than a jail cell. So it's limitless how long they can live in there.
Now, you have, of course, an election coming up next month. Do you expect your business to be greater or less, depending if it's Donald Trump winning or Kamala Harris?
If Kamala Harris won, business would be crazy. People, they're already buying bunkers thinking that the Democrats might cheat and steal this election. Trump is bad for business, for the bunker business, and Kamala would be good for the business. But being a patriotic American, I would much rather have my country feel safe and see my sales fall off massively than be the richest guy in the world and live in a country that's fallen apart. So I'm going to root personally for Donald Trump. Most people I know and most people with common sense in America that are practical and have common sense are going to root for Donald Trump. The Democrats, which we don't get along too well with them, they don't buy bomb shelters. I guess they think everything's hunky-dory in America, but that's one thing I've noticed about my customers. 99% of them are Republicans. I literally just sold my first bunker in probably 3 years to a Democrat about 10 minutes ago up in New York. And I was talking to him. We didn't get too deep into it, but he wasn't a Donald Trump fan. So he didn't say he was voting for Kamala Harris either, but he wasn't a Donald Trump fan. But Democrats, for some reason, historically do not buy bunkers unless they're billionaires. So Bill Gates has bunkers. Jeff Zuckerberg has bunkers. And a lot of the other billionaires have bunkers that are Democrats. But the average person who's a Democrat, they don't see any need to have a bunker. They think everything's fine. And they also think the government's going to come to help them. Wait till everything falls apart. There's not enough people in government to help, 300 million people.
Right. Okay. So they'll be on their own is what you're saying. So now, of course, some of the Democrats might say that, maybe the people who are buying the bunkers are fearing the wrong person.
Now, Democrats don't see a civil war coming, and they're not worried about World War III. Pretty much all that civil war and the worried about World War III is coming from the Republican side.
Yeah.
The government's not going to buy bomb shelters for its own civilians. You have to take care of yourself in America. I mean, it's the same with the medical. If you want medical, you need to pay for it yourself. The government doesn't provide it. But if you are indigent or you're broke and homeless, the government will pay your medical. So if somebody's injured in America, they're not going to go without medical attention.
Right.
But if you have the means to work, you're going to pay for it. If you don't have the means to pay for it, the government will step in and pay for it. So people do not go without medical in America.
Okay, so that's doing quite well. That would be under the Obamacare regime.
Well, that's just regular Medicare in America. Right. Whether there's Obamacare or not, people in America are taken care of. They just don't let people go to the emergency room and bleed to death if they're in an accident.
Sure. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, look, I've another question for you. In terms of the bunker, do you find when people then buy a bunker off you and you build it, that they stock it? They stock it with canned goods or potable water or whatever. I mean, are they worried about having it ready at all times just in case?
Of course. Yes. The people are buying survival food. I've seen the companies that make the survival food have probably about a 500% increase in their sales. So one of them that I support called Emergency Essentials, I've seen their sales go from 30 million 5 years ago to 200 million this
year. Gosh, wow.
Yes. So people buying survival food and supplies has gone through the roof.
Okay. Well, look, I do wish you well in your business, Ron. I'm kind of hoping all that doesn't come to pass, though. I'm kind of feeling that, maybe the best thing for the world would be if we didn't need bomb shelters.
Well, yeah, but bomb shelters have been around as long as we've had bombs, and try to tell that to the people of Ukraine or the people of Israel. Unfortunately, bomb shelters are needed in active conflicts around the world. And, all I'm here to do is supply a service for people that they just want that peace of mind,
Okay. Well, listen, if people do want to check out your bomb shelters and if people in Ireland might be worried about what's coming down the line now that you've given them all those warnings, and of course we're seeing lots and lots of devastation on the news, then the company is called Atlas Survival Shelters, and you're very active on social media, Ron. So there's a lot there for people to check out and see, and you've all the plans of all the different bunkers. It's like picking a show home.
Yes, ma'am, it is.
All right. Listen, one final question. Your name, Ron Hubbard, I can't get past it. Are you related at all to L. Ron Hubbard, the author and founder of Scientology?
No, I'm not related.
Okay. All right. Just a coincidence. All right.
Okay.
Right. Listen, Ron Hubbard, thank you so much for joining us on The Home Show today. We couldn't have missed it this week. The taxman had his say earlier in the week. The budget is over for another year. As usual, there was a range of measures announced which gave something to everyone in the audience. But we want to look specifically at policies and adjustments that were made that affect the home, property, new bills, renters and buyers. Joining me now is Sean Defoe, political correspondent at News Talk, who has the lowdown on what was announced on Tuesday. Sean, you're very, very welcome. It was a giveaway election budget for sure, but housing remains one of the top of people's lists of what they wanted to see improvements on. Did they get it?
They got some. They got some, but housing was not fixed in this budget. No budget on its own is going to do that. It's too big an issue. And the housing, I think the budgets and the housing section of it the last few years have felt a little bit of a letdown because most of the planning is done in Housing for All. And there is this separate document, and the funding of that is what's done through the budget. So we haven't got these big glossy announcements saying, I'm going to do this and do that, that you will hear during the election and in all the manifestos, because they think, well, look, the plan is already there. We're just funding it every year, basically.
And of course, the only saving grace on that is that you don't get any dolled up old announcements repackaged into new announcements, and you're not kind of trying to sort the wheat from the chaff.
I don't know about that. I think they still try and doll it up a fair amount in the press releases they're sending to me. But anyway. You know.
All right. Okay. $1.25 billion to the Land Development Agency for affordable homes, $2 billion for 10,000 social homes, an extra 7,400 new social homes. Sure, if they do all that, we won't need anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, look, if that all comes to pass. Look, some of these are old figures. Some of, like, the 10,000 social homes is the target that was in Housing for All for next year. So they're just funding that. It's not necessarily 10,000. It was a bit confusing in the speech, actually, the way Pascal Donoghue let it out, because there are some bits that you thought, is that 10,000 on top of the additional targets? But it's not. It's what the additional targets were. When it comes to the 7,400 extra homes you mentioned, that is extra funding, but it's being done through, it's not the government direct build. This is the likes of, say, when an approved housing body builds or delivers a social home or buys a social home, there's a scheme by which the state basically pays the current cost of it. So it's built by someone else, but the state pays the ongoing costs of keeping it up and keeping a tenant in there. So that's where the 7,400 is. There's also an increased leasing target for the state of not necessarily building themselves, but taking over a property, maybe where the landlord is selling it, or whether it's been brought up through one of the grants, the vacancy grant, etc. That target is 2,165. And as you mentioned, the Land Development Agency getting a big chunk of change for affordable housing. There's been a lot of questions, obviously, about what is affordable when it comes to the Land Development Agency. But they have been buying, I mean, in my own area, they bought up 100 apartments recently that weren't necessarily selling, and they're all going now for cost rentals. So it goes into different pies, but extra money for them. And of course, they're going to be targeted through the Apple money. The full detail of that wasn't given yesterday, but it was signaled pretty strongly that's going to go towards the Land Development Agency and putting investment in housing. It's also going towards Air Grid and Irish Water, with the view that that will also help housing through your connections.
Okay, that was the infrastructure piece on that. Now, we already know that they're going to need an extra spend for the modular homes that were built for the Ukrainians, which are now costing double what they expected. There was no mention of that in the budget. I'd say they didn't want to go down that route.
I'd say that's absolutely buried somewhere, if it's even been decided at all how that's going to go. Absolutely insane that this is what it has cost, about €420,000 per unit.
For prefabs.
Effectively. Now, look, I've seen some of these. They're very nice prefabs. You know, it's not the prefab you were sitting with in school when they were out there and you're sitting in the cold. These things are good homes and they're meant to last, but they have been more expensive, mostly because of land works. The actual cost of buying them didn't increase, but the OPW was saying that in some areas the sites weren't suitable. They had to carry out a lot of groundworks, and again, that connection issue. The thing that I find remarkable about it, and I have no idea where the cock-up was here, but it's a huge one. These were meant to be A-rated. They're actually C-rated.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how you get that wrong. I don't know, is it in the contractor that it wasn't as good as they initially sold it? But that is going to require extra money now to bring that up to snuff, and is just a crazy expense.
It is. And the only way that could get worse is if they decided to put bike sheds in with with each of those. Right. OK, the extension of the Help to Buy scheme up to 2029. Now, this is the scheme where you get first-time buyers buying a new home get a refund of the last 4 years' worth of tax up to 30,000 to give them effectively what is their house deposit. There was some chatter, Sean, I thought, that they might try to extend this to second-hand homes, but that wasn't to be.
No, it wasn't. That was something that Darragh Bryan was looking at. He was looking at a couple of different aspects of how they might extend it out, actually, and none of them made it in the end. In relation to the second-hand homes, the thinking was that this is to encourage building. The whole idea, or a big idea, of the Help to Buy, along with giving people their deposit, was to ensure that builders had some sort of confidence that the extra money was there. Now, in reality, they probably just tagged it onto the price tag at the end of the thing anyway. And that's why it's been such a controversial measure. I think it's really setting it up to be an election issue, because the government is full behind it. There's an awful lot of people I know around my own age who have bought using it and who have gotten around the need to save for 10 years for a deposit by having it there. Sinn Féin wants to get rid of it. They want to phase it out over a number of years. Instead, the government has said it's there to the end of the decade. Make absolutely no mistake. That is so when they are on the doors on housing, they can say, look, we've secured that for the next 6 years, you will have this. If you are a couple of years away from getting a house, there's absolute assurance there that you are going to get it. If, of course, you go and re-elect us, but if you put these other guys in, they'll take it away.
Now, I can't leave you without mentioning one measure, which I think took us all a bit by surprise, and not least the people who are thinking of moving to a mansion, possibly in the more leafy environs of South Dublin. The mansion tax is what we're calling this. Tell us about it and who it affects.
Yeah, really interesting policy that came sort of out of nowhere. It's not going to affect a huge amount of people because it is properties that are being bought for over 1.5 million euro. And, you know, not a huge amount of them are sold every year in the country, increasingly more if you're in certain demographics of the country, I suppose. But for most people, it won't ever affect you. And it is a new 6% rate of stamp duty on properties over 1.5 million. But it is actually going to bring in very little money because this is done on a graduated basis. So already it was the case that if it was over a million, there was a 2% rate instead of the 1% rate under, but you only pay it on the portion that is above that. So if you are buying a house for 2 million euro, say, you pay a million at 1%, 500,000 at 2%, and now another 500,000 at 6% duty.
Okay.
So it's actually, it sounds quite good and it sounds like, oh yeah, we're sticking a bit to the millionaires who are swanning up and the cava and the bike sheds and everything else. But actually, when it comes down to money brought in, it's going to be very, very small.
All right. So one of those things that kind of looks better than it is on paper, as indeed is the rent tax credit, because that was increased to 1,000 euro. I mean, you know, tax experts have told me, Sean, that half the people who are eligible for this bother claiming it, possibly because they have to fill out a whole tax return and possibly because they have to disclose their landlord's details and they don't want to do it.
Yeah, it's a bit tricky for quite a lot of people. It's worth a good bit of money to you now, though, 1,000 euro a year, and the fact that they've tagged it on to this year. So if people have already claimed the 750 that was there, they can actually now go back and claim another 250 euros. It's not bad money put into your pocket. But if you're in a situation where, you know, you have a bit of a wink, wink, nod, nod arrangement with your landlord, or you know, they're not registered with the RTB, you're paying in cash or whatever, it's a little bit harder. Now, Revenue have made it a bit easier for people to do that if their landlord isn't registered with the RTB. And it is, of course, a legal requirement to be registered with the RTB, in that you don't necessarily have to give the details when you sign up and fill out that tax return, but they do come looking for it eventually. So a lot of people are put off by the fact that they just don't want to get into the row with their landlord, because if they do, they can turf them out at some point or find some excuse to get rid of them and finding somewhere else at maybe the rent that they could have been in. You know, if you were in agreed in a rent 5 or 6 years ago, you're probably in a rent that you're not going to get on the market now. So is it actually worth people doing that? It's kind of questionable. But if your landlord is following the rules and doing everything properly, then in theory, it's actually a pretty nice 1,000 euro back in the year.
Yep. Indeed. All right. Well, listen, lots there for homeowners and renters and aspiring buyers to cogitate after the budget. And Sean Defoe, thank you very much. We'll let you get back to your politicking now and find out when the election is on, more importantly. And thanks for joining us on The Home Show.
Thanks for having me, Sinead. Appreciate it.
Now, most of us would probably love the idea of an original artwork hanging in our sitting room with pride of place, or as a conversation piece somewhere in the hall. But going to a gallery can often seem a little bit daunting, intimidating. We've talked about it before on the show. We've had many gallerists in who've said, don't be silly, we sell everything, it's perfectly nice, do come in and talk to us. But it can be a bit difficult, and maybe sometimes you feel you're being bounced into making a decision to buy something. But what if the art came to you and you could try it on for size before buying? Denise Donnelly is owner of the Doorway Gallery and offers just that service. You're very welcome along to the
Thank
studio.
Thank you for having me.
Now, well, first of all, tell us a little bit about the Doorway Gallery. It is very well known. It's been around quite a long time, but talk to me a little bit about it.
We opened about 22 years ago and we started off in the Liberties, and we then moved to South Frederick Street. And we've been there. The wonderful Pat Kenny opened it for us 14 years ago. And we have been there since. And yeah,
so was he.
Yes.
Still here, still going strong.
Still
on New
York. And our approach is kind of affordability and accessibility. So we're trying to encourage everyone to come in and buy. And we have paintings like for under 100 euro as well, right up obviously to the higher amounts. Yeah. But yeah.
Are you an artist yourself?
I'm not.
Maybe that helps.
It missed me. It is in the family. And my mom, that's how I started selling her work years ago. And my cousin then, Roisin O'Farrell. So there's a few of us, it missed me. I'm just trying to sell it.
Yeah. No, that's probably a good idea because you kind of get, you'd be torn then.
And you would hang all of your own work up on the walls if it was just.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, listen, I love the idea of this initiative. The try before you buy. Tell me how it works in practice.
So we started this during COVID when COVID happened and we thought we were just doomed. And when we closed the gallery's doors, like every business person, we thought, what can we do? So I very much went online and the website was just my right arm. And we interviewed lots of videos and conversations with all our artists, got them to open up their studios online. And we did loads of talks every Monday and asked the audience to join in and talk, meet the artists basically. And then I thought a lot of people were inquiring about the artwork and we were sending WhatsApp videos of it. But obviously with an art piece, you want to see it in your home. And then I decided to do the try before you buy. If you live in Dublin or somewhere very hot, maybe I could go to.
Oh, right. OK, you'd be happy to bring it to, you know, Puerto Banús or somewhere.
Yes, okay. That'd be nice. So what I would do is leave the artworks, get the client to pick out whatever they wanted from the website, leave it at the door and talk to them at the end of their driveway, and spoke to my insurance company and we're fully insured for 2 days. And I'm still doing that. So we leave the artwork there, and the reason why I leave them there for 2 days is because we want the customer to feel really comfortable with the painting and see it in different lights of the day. And also if they're, you know, if it's a big painting, you need to be 100% sure. So it's quite important that they feel comfortable with it and they definitely don't want to give it back. Sometimes they do, but then they know that they can eliminate that artist doesn't suit their house. So they go back onto the website and they text me and they say, what about this piece? So it's a bit of a journey. I'm back and forth sometimes.
Yeah, no, it's a super idea because, I mean, we don't often get the chance to do that. I mean, if you were buying, say, spending an equivalent amount of money on a fabulous sofa or beautiful table and chairs, and you're seeing it in a store or online and you're just not going to know if it's going to fit. Yeah. And with art, it's so personal that if it's not the right fit for that wall, that room, that house, you're better off finding out because it'll be all you can see if you don't.
And even now, we still offer it because it's so hard to see a painting in a gallery setting. And if every time I go out to people's houses, the first thing they say, oh, I didn't realise it was this big. So it is important. And even when we do payment plans over 6 months so people can pay in instalments, and we still do the try before you buy. We will take the painting back and store it until it's fully paid, but we still offer that service so that they are 100% sure. And then they can pay over the instalment process.
Okay, that's fantastic. And you find, as you say, that most people hang on to the
piece. Pretty much, yeah. I mean, there was...
Because you know, is art one of those things? It is, I think it's a bit like wine. You might know a lot about it, but you know what you like.
Yes, that's what it's all about. Okay. And it is an immediate reaction. Even though I leave them there for 2 days, I always get the customer ringing me within a day and say, I'll definitely take it or I won't. And can you bring this one out? Or they might go down a commission route. They really like the painting, but it was too big. Can we do this? So it's a bit of a journey with the clients, but it's been really good because I'm able to focus now on the Irish market. Mm. Whereas before COVID, I was traveling to London 6 shows a year and doing a lot of international art fairs. Mm. So this has really made me concentrate on the market here, and it's been enjoyable as well, which is great.
Now, one of the things I've been reading about, and I'm hoping that you are maybe the first person who can explain this to me properly, because I've been delving into it for the past year or so and trying to find out what it is and how it works. But it is the next big thing, and the art world is where NFTs, non-fungible tokens, are appearing. Now, I've studied economics. I know what a non-fungible token is, but I have no idea how it relates to the art world.
I'm glad you said that, because I don't think anybody
does. It's a bit like Schrodinger's cat. It exists and it doesn't exist at the same time.
And, you know, over, like, it's really calmed down now. But if you asked me 2 years ago, I was getting so many emails, lots every day about, will you sell your NFTs? And even some of my artists have on their profile, I do not sell NFTs. That will show you how many people were emailing the artists as well. Wow. That was 2 years ago. It's really calmed down now. For me, it wasn't, I didn't look into it fully because for me, I like to touch, feel an original piece of art. This is a digital image and it would do absolutely nothing for me. And to the normal art collector, I don't think that is something that my clients would buy and purchase. It's a digital image. So I think
it's like the crypto
hype is gone.
Of the
and
the
that's
art
how, yeah, it's okay. crypto money.
So it only exists as long as somebody believes it exists.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad you've cleared that up.
I don't know
for
if
me,
I have
anyway.
Cleared it up.
Right, okay. Now, what you've something upcoming now. I'm sorry now, folks. I'm going to mention the C word and my apologies. Let's call it. You've something coming up towards the festive season that will remain unnamed for the time being. What is this?
Well, I think we're allowed to. It's October.
Are
so,
are
you know, we can.
We? All right. Stocking fillers. Go on. What's this now?
So this show we've been doing for over 20 years and basically it's we get all our artists and to do paint 10 canvases each. The size is 20 by 25 centimetres. They have to do 10 and everything has to be 500 and under. And we just wanted this to give this an offer to our clients who can't afford the bigger pieces, but would love to start collecting art. And this it's been really good every year because we've got loads of couples who come in and they pick out their Christmas presents to each other.
Oh, lovely idea, actually.
And when I go around to people's houses on the Try Before You Buy, I see all these little canvases grouped together and it's just so nice, you know.
That is a nice
and
idea.
And it's a great way of collecting
okay.
art.
So can people then, you have the show on, tell us when it's on.
Well, it's on.
It's on now.
Well, it's start, the official launch is the 3rd of December.
Okay.
But we are putting the images up on the website now.
Great,
and
okay.
some are selling out already. So some might even make the gallery wall, and we do have a waiting list for a certain artist, and we always inform the people on the waiting list first. So it's definitely worth checking out the website.
Brilliant. Okay. And people can find that on?
TheDoorwayGallery.com.
Fantastic. All right. Well, Denise Donnelly, thank you so much for bringing us up to date on all of that. I think it's a super initiative. And it might just take some of that fear factor out of walking around a silent gallery and having some bloke in a turtleneck following
We're not
around,
like that.
You know? Okay. Listen, that's fantastic. Thanks for joining us on The Home Show. And if anybody wants to have a look at that or the upcoming exhibition, then you can find it on The Doorway Gallery. And Denise, thanks
thank
a million.
You.
Now, whether you're a student living away from home for the first time or a new buyer or renter who's trying to furnish on a budget, Creative Commercial Director with Journal.ie, Niamh Marr joins me now to discuss how to do a bargain kit out with style.
Oh!
Now, Niamh, you are very stylish, so I'm sure it's not just about, you know, bargain basement stuff and somebody's old sodding mattress you know, don't worry about needing a desk or chair. But you know, whether you're renting for the first time, you're in student accommodation or you're a first-time buyer, like you've just dished out a chunk of change and may have very little money left over to actually put anything in your new room, apartment or house.
Absolutely.
So that's, and I'm thinking about kids maybe going to college now, if they were lucky enough to get accommodation.
Well, this is it.
A lot of it doesn't come furnished. So what are we looking at here to get people on their way?
Absolutely. Well, I thought this was such a good topic. And I have to say, for context, I was kind of a first time out on my own, young kid, multiple times. My parents called me the boomerang child because I kept going out and then I kept coming back for whatever reason, which we won't go into. But every space that I went into, a key priority for me was to make it feel like home. Because especially if you're renting, sometimes you're renting a room, it's not the full place that you're renting if it's an apartment. So there's only certain things that you can do to really make it feel comfortable for yourself. So that was always a key thing. And I was always broke, to be honest with you, as lots of people probably know. So you are working on a budget. So that's the first thing I'm going to say, which is so boring. So apologies to your listeners, but do plan your budget first. So get the basics looked at before you do anything. So do you need a bed? Do you need a mattress? Do you need somewhere to sit? Can you save on seating, for example, if you're looking at multiple seats in a living room? Look at a corner couch, which will solve all the seating problems rather than two couches, things like that. So I feel like budgeting is the most important thing you can do.
Oh, well, you see, that's a cause close to my own heart. And like you, we've all furnished. I remember in my first home, which was mine, I sat on a deck chair for the best part of 6 weeks because you're saving up to buy stuff.
And you don't even think about where am I going to sit?
Yeah, if people do that anymore. But like, it wasn't the worst thing in the world.
No.
And then you have that time to consider.
And so this moves me on to the next piece, which is buying quality secondhand. So this is especially true for students. And to be honest with you, students now, I feel, are a lot more savvy when it comes to buying quality secondhand. I think there was a time, maybe 10, 20 years ago, the charity shops was kind of looked upon as if, oh, there's nothing you could find in there. Well, actually, the stock in charity shops, for example, are constantly being refreshed. And it's a really good place to go in order to get quality secondhand furniture. Furniture is so expensive. If you're buying new, you're looking at hundreds or thousands.
It really is
crazy expensive. And if you're looking at furnishing not only an apartment or student accommodation, if you've bought a new build or a house and you're trying to furnish that, like, forget about it. So some secondhand options out there that are really good. The Irish Cancer Society is great, NCBI. Oxfam Home, actually, if you're in Dublin on Francis Street. It is, well, it's like a storeroom, like literally. And it starts at the beginning and you go all the way back in. You can get couches, you can get cabinets, chest of drawers. The furniture in Oxfam Home is amazing, and actually was only something that I discovered when I was furnishing a flat in town, because it was literally just around the corner. So
that's
it was really handy to pop in. So that's really great and really good for students as well, because the prices are just, I mean, I wouldn't say that they're rock bottom, like they're appropriate for the secondhand nature of the product. But I do think that secondhand quality is great. And also Dundeal, Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, it's actually, both of those are brilliant. Yeah. I sold a bed recently on Dundeal, which is now linked with adverts.ie. So you get kind of both of listings together. And all I would say to, and I bought and sold on that before. So the only thing I'd say to people who haven't done that and aren't used to it is beware anybody who offers to collect the item or give you the item by courier.
Yes.
It's a big scam. Okay, it's a big scam. And without getting into it here, just avoid it at all costs.
Absolutely. When you're working on these independent sites, you do definitely, or when you're working with independent sellers and buyers, you do obviously have to make sure that everything is safe, that you're protected, that they're protected. So that is really good. I did actually do a little shop on Dundeal earlier, so I can go into some products that are available there now. Right. But I'll move on to one of the things that I find really key. So save on things that you didn't expect. And this is something that I never knew how expensive dining tables and chairs were, for example. I just had no concept of how expensive that would be. And they are absolutely through the roof expensive. Like, you could get some beautiful dining room chairs, for example, in Dunn stores, but they're €200 a pop for a chair. €200 a pop.
And you know what?
Share.
That mightn't, of itself, that may not even sound expensive, but if you're buying six of them.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, that's crazy.
It's expensive. So what I think is a good way of doing that, it's not a placeholder, because honestly, like, I did this and I've still got them and I've been in my house for 3 years now. So you can get good durable options. For example, there's an IKEA dupe, these Lizabo chairs. They're ash colour, €65 for each chair. They're very similar to ones that you can find on Cave and on Sklum at the moment. Very mid-century modern. The thing with IKEA is that they encourage you to hack your IKEA as well.
Yeah.
To like put on a little coat of varnish. It's not ash anymore. It's got a more oaky vibe. Like, you can change that.
Yeah, you don't feel bad. Like, you're not looking at Chippendale here. Nobody's going to say, what have you done ruining this antique furniture?
Exactly.
You're just painting it up to suit your whatever your circumstances.
But that's exactly it. So I really wanted this particular type of chair, but after we had bought the house and moved in and bought couches and beds and everything, I was like, I actually can't afford €200 for a chair each. So these ones in IKEA are €65. So look at durable options that will last, but that aren't going to break the bank, because you don't need everything to be insanely expensive the first time round as well.
No,
so
exactly.
That's something, like, if something, you know, if you balk at it and go, oh my God, that's so expensive, there are always options out there that you can look at for a nice change up. I do still have my eye on more expensive dining chairs. Someday, Sinead, someday.
Yeah, and listen, the thing about it is, there's something to be said for for getting a style that you think you might like, not spending a load of money on it, and living with it for a few years.
Oh, yeah.
And then you might look back and you say, no, I really still want the fab one, and go and get it. Or I'm so sick and tired of this design, I'm going to change something completely different. And you haven't spent, you know, a couple of grand on whatever it is.
That actually leads me on to my next point, which I always think is a good thing to do. So if you're moving into a new home or an apartment, or like that, if you're moving into student accommodation and you want inspiration, go to a show home. You don't have to buy the house, just go to a show home. So show homes always have beautiful interior designers who have decked them out, and it gives you inspiration, because I think there's nothing more daunting than walking into a shell and not knowing what to do. So literally go corner by corner, room by room, and look at how this interior designer has designed this show home. And to be honest, if you're really impressed, and if you've just recently bought a new home, you can get in touch with them, may have done this, and literally say, where did you get this product? Where did you get this product? Because that's their job. You'd be surprised at how passionate and how easily accessible that information is for you if you're feeling overwhelmed by furnishing a property, you know? So.
And I find sometimes when you do that, and I kind of am guilty of this, because when we were buying our latest home, which a few years ago, before we ever bought the house, we went around looking at kind of stage homes. No intention of buying a brand new house.
No.
But it kind of, they've open days and you just go and wander around and you get an idea of things like layering up furnishings or, you know, mirrors with textures or wallpapers
paint,
or whatever.
I've spoken about paint
and you get some fantastic ideas because you've top designers who have been paid to stage this thing. And it's a brilliant idea.
Well, that's it. I mean,
for free.
And it's free. And that's it. Like, it's a cheap way of getting some inspo and for actually being in a space, which again, it's the next thing that I'll talk about, which is live in the space for a time. Now, if you're going to be on a deck chair, fine. If you've got no mattress, I get you. Go out there and get a mattress. But I would encourage people to live in the space that you've got, or at least walk through the space before you start buying anything mad, because I feel like there can be a bit of pressure. It comes on, it feels like an impulse that, like, I need to get this, I need to get this, I need to get this. I'm still buying things for my house and I've been in there for 2 years, you know, like, it is a process. Don't rush it, because you'll end up buying things that you either don't like, or you'll end up with a bunch of boucle which goes out of fashion like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And you're saying, what was I thinking? I wanted something for that corner and now I can't unsee it and I can't get rid of it. And it, you know,
exactly.
I feel bad
and
about
it. It might cost you more money in the long run to actually change it. So take a breath and live in the space for a time.
All right. Really, really good tips there. Take a breath, take a moment, live in the space, and don't be afraid to go out and buy secondhand nice furniture. And I couldn't agree more with that. And folks, if you haven't been in, you know, a charity shop or, you know, a secondhand shop in a long time, it's not all 1970s brown mahogany lockers. There's fantastic stuff to be
and
had.
I love 1970s brown mahogany lockers anyway.
And sorry, put a bit of primer and a bit of paint on them.
Absolutely.
And they become teal lockers or pink lockers.
There's nothing in there anyway.
Take off a
handle. The 1970s locker, so it's gone.
Now, did you say that you had done a little shopping online?
I had to do a little bit of shopping.
I know, you can't. We have to give you a shopping job.
So I went on, I had a look on Dundeal. Just for people who are in the market specifically at the moment for furniture, there are 10,650 current ads on Dundeal for furniture. What's great about it is that it is divided up into kitchen appliances, kitchen, bathroom, living room,
bedroom. Yeah.
So everything that you need, just click in. So a few little standout pieces that I found. There's a Campino mini corner sofa, €1,849. That's a bargain for a corner sofa. If you were to go to DVS, DFS, or Easy Living or anything like that, you're looking at €2,000 upwards. So really good price there, and it's in great condition. There's an Easy Living chair, actually. It's like an orange, modern 60s kind of chair.
I've seen it.
€150.
I've seen it. And actually, that wasn't on sale that long ago in the store.
This is it. So it's
so somebody bought, wouldn't you love the backstory of that? Somebody brought that home and whoever they live with said,
Are you mad. Get that orange
chair. Get rid
of it. Well, it's on Dundeal now if you want it. It's beautiful. There's a full bedroom set for €219, which is a wardrobe set. I moved into the bedroom section there. There's an IKEA double bed, including a mattress for €50. If you're going to student accommodation and you need a bed and a mattress, an IKEA double bed in great condition for €50, pick up in the Dublin area. And then another bedroom thing, a full bedroom set with wardrobe, two side tables, and a chest of drawers, all for €789. So you've basically just kitted out a full bedroom for less than €800.
You're sorted. Fantastic. Excellent. And actually, let's mention IKEA because they have this refurbished section now in the back
they
of the shop
do.
In Ballymun.
It's
so
very
people
good.
Can bring back items that are in perfect condition, but they've just grown surplus to requirement and they'll resell them for you. Yeah. And they're bargain basement price.
I always go there. So it's actually at the checkouts, you know, when you've gone through all of IKEA.
Yeah.
So it's at the checkouts there at the end. So if you're queuing.
Oh, you're not obliged, by the way, as an aside, to go all the way through IKEA.
Well,
sometimes
you can
just go straight down to the market store.
But if I'm there, I'm getting it all and I'm getting the meatballs, Sinead. So I'm there for the day if I'm there.
You know, the renegade, the anarchic way to do that is to go opposite the arrows.
It actually gives me anxiety. I don't want to do it.
There you go. There you go. That's a puzzle for this weekend. You can go and see if you can do that. Niamh Marr, creative director at thejournal.ie. Thank you so much again for all those practical and helpful tips about furnishing your first living space. It's one of those things you'll kind of think, I never ever want to do this again. And then, of course, you do.
Boomerang. You'll do it a lot.
All right. Well, listen, that's always time for on what I must say has been an eclectic show. And we've gone from bunkers to bunk beds. So that's it for today. Thanks to Aidan McKelvey, who was producing, the researcher Rory Galvin, and Stephen McClune, who was on sound. We will be back to do it all again next time.
The Home Show with Sinead Ryan.
With Mila.
Saturday morning at 8 on News Talk.